I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's fucking minging, that.
I tell you what, that is fucking men against fucking boys all over the fucking park. It's fucking weak as piss, they are. Fucking weak as...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roka Report Player Ratings Podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav here back after the Plymouth game, and it was absolutely shite, wasn't it, John, Stacey?
Yes, it was, Gavin Henderson.
Yeah. Connor Bromley, what did you make? You what are you smiling at? We're just being humped.
No, I'm smiling more at the fact you just went full name. Yeah. No, I would say I'm embarrassed. I would say that's where I am. I'm just embarrassed to be a Sunderland fan. Got Newcastle fans whinging about getting beat off Arsenal.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here getting beat at home again against a really, really shit team.
Yeah, even the dogs fuming, you can probably hear them. It was absolutely dross that second half. Like, I'll quickly run through the game. First half started terribly. They went ahead very early. Typical Sunderland, giving away a stupid early goal. Then on from there, we actually improved, I felt, although we sort of lacked a plan. We improved. Going into half-time, I felt pretty confident, actually. I thought we were okay. Second half, we started well. O'Brien gets a goal. McFadzean providing the assist, which was the only good thing McFadzean did in the whole game because he was the worst player on the pitch. Probably closely followed by Charlie White, but we'll get on to that. Then as the game moved on, Plymouth inevitably scored pretty much straight after we did. And we were fairly toothless for the rest of the game and didn't look like a team challenging for promotion, which is what has been the case for majority of the season so far, and sort of begs the question now, doesn't it, Connor? Is this team capable of promotion? Because we are now on a run where we just can't put a string of good performances together. We're getting beat off crap teams. I mean, everybody listening will probably be aware by this point that Plymouth haven't won the game away from home in almost a year, and obviously they come to Sunderland like MK Dons did, like Mansfield did in the cup, and got that win. So do you have any confidence that this team will get promoted?
I almost hope they don't get promoted, because it would paper over a lot of cracks. It's obvious that the squad of players that we have aren't good enough. There's a few shining lights. Yes, there's players that I like in there. You know, I think Bailey Wright, Jack Diamond, probably the two that, you know, I particularly... and Jordan Willis particularly enjoy watching, but the whole team's poor. We've got 21 players going out of contract in the summer. That's huge for me, because that means we can actually have a reset. I think Lee Johnson's basically playing with his hands tied behind his back at the minute, and so's, you know, the whole recruitment stuff that's going to be coming in. I think as a club, we just need to accept that this year we may as well just write it off. I don't see us getting promoted. I think if we did get promoted, it wouldn't necessarily be a positive thing, because these players would probably end up getting extra years on their contracts that they don't deserve. I just don't think we as a football club right now are prepared. You see it tonight. I mean, look at Sunderland tonight as a football club. The pitch, abysmal. The performance, abysmal. The stream, as much as I love Frankie and Danny Collins, they were fine, but the stream was terrible in the sense that it blinks every 2 seconds. It just everything about the club is reeking amateur at the minute. And
yeah,
it's just embarrassing. That's the way it is at the start, and I just stick by that. It is embarrassing to be a Sunderland fan right now.
Deflated, John? Particularly after Saturday?
Yeah, I think. But then Saturday, you know, it was 3-0 and everything, but I didn't think it was anything to write home about. It was a bit, I don't know, it was a bit of a, it shouldn't have been 3-0. I don't think we played well enough to get a 3-0 win, but we did. That being said, yeah, deflated, because Plymouth and, you know, everything that goes with it, we should have won. Simple as that. But no, everything that Connor said, spot on. It was just an embarrassing night. And I guess really just sort of rounding off what Connor said, my only hope really is that we can turn it around and change something between now and the next game, and use it as a bit of a, you know, surely we can't get any worse than that kind of moment, because I feel like we've had them quite a lot this season, don't get me wrong, but Yeah, it's on par with probably the worst I've seen us tonight.
Yeah, yeah. We'll quickly throw up the three-word review on Twitter. The Sunderland fans over on the Rotopor Twitter page have kindly replied with theirs, and as you can imagine, they're not great. Sergeant Scooter Boy says League One forever. It does feel like that at the minute. Niall SCFC, there is no quality, or there's no quality. Colin Beveridge, not even surprised. Mine and Canary, don't overreact, which is the first sort of level-headed response I've seen on Twitter since after the game. Everyone seems to be in the same boat. Nick, load of shite. Jason Beattie, party mentality lingering. Matt, not getting promoted. Carl Bridgewood, more home woes. Sam Blakey, our Sam, he says, wet, windy, wank. Not all at once, there are commas between those words. Brownie, League One again. Kieran Harrison, fold the club. I'm not reading that one. Steve Reed, lost all hope. Stephen Cook, meandering towards obscurity. Ross Robson, bring back party, no thank you.
Oh,
SH, pile of shit. Chris Day, McFadzian watches balls. They're all along the same lines, these. Let's finish off with this one. Johnson, wrong appointment? Don't know about that. Yeah, maybe not finish on that one. Let's just finish on fucking dog shite, Kenny Martin. Yeah, everybody is pretty much in the same boat there. I mean, there's another probably 100 replies to this, all along the same lines. Everybody is just sick. It's difficult to really pull the positives from that game, to be honest. I'm trying to think of what positives to potentially pull from it. Connor touched on it though, John, the pitch tonight. Yeah. I mean, I'm not using it as an excuse for the result, because both teams had to play out on that pitch tonight. But I mean, it was horrific. I've been going to the stadium right since it opened, I don't think I've ever seen it that bad. That's got to be the worst it's ever been.
Yeah, definitely. And I spoke to my dad by text. I always give him a shout out these days. But yeah, no, he said the same thing. He texted me saying, I've never seen the pitch that bad. And, you know, a couple of people in our WhatsApp said, you know, if this was pre-COVID or COVID wasn't on, you know, would we have even played this game? It wasn't playable. It was a leveller. I hate that phrase, but it was a leveller in a way, because you saw a lot of players who we know have a lot of ability, definitely struggling. I say a lot of ability, quite loosely tongue-in-cheek there, but no, there was only a few positives. You know, McGeady for parts of the game was good. Diamond, again, had a really good game. Sanderson was solid, but I think beyond that, you know, you're looking at kind of really struggling to pull any positives out of performances, and you can say it was because of the pitch in one or two of the players, but the rest of them, you know, they'd have done that on a pristine pitch at St George's Park, you know. So I don't know. Yeah, difficult to drag a positive. The positive is that it's over, maybe. That's a positive. It's finished now.
Yeah, well, we have to play at home again on Saturday.
Oh, that brilliant. Pitch. Reminded me of that.
Yeah, well, good luck to the groundsman trying to sort that out. I think we're due even more bad weather. Is there any positive you can extract from that, Connor? You're normally quite positive.
Yeah, I'm normally trying to find positives, but for me to win a game in League One, you need at least two players to play a 7 out of 10. At the weekend, we won because Charlie Wyke scored a hat-trick. I know didn't necessarily have the best game off the ball, but he scored a hat-trick. That's why we won the fixture. Tonight, we had a team full of fives. You know, there wasn't... I know there's players that
that's
maybe
being
played
generous.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, the whole 11 was...
Yeah.
It was effort and nothing more. There was no quality. The only quality we had was the goal we scored, but then McFadzean, who provided that quality, then let us down pretty much with both goals, came from his side. So, no, I don't have any positives. I thought Lee Johnson got his team selection wrong as well. I don't think he got that right today. I think throwing Winchester and Scowan in there in a two, especially with Winchester only being here, what a week, I didn't think that made sense. I would have played Ledbetter in there. And to be honest, the persistence with Scowan at the minute's baffling, because I don't think he's been very good for all season, to be honest. I don't understand how he keeps getting in the team, especially over Elliot Embleton. So, to be honest, I'm not really that impressed with the manager tonight, and I've been quite a big fan of him since he's came in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just stick up for Johnson in this sense, that it's pretty difficult really to judge him at the minute. I mean, he's going to make mistakes along the way, of course, but these players are just not doing the job. They're not. I mentioned in our chat, but I thought under Parkinson, Denver Hume was probably our best player, probably most consistent player. Or he wasn't fantastic, but he was probably our best player in that glum period under Parkinson. And I just feel like we're missing him. We're missing the width he gives us, both defensively and offensively. I mean, like you've just touched on, Connor, both those goals, McFadzean, shocking. The first one, he kind of just goes missing. Then the second one, he gets sucked in. Him and McGeady get caught too close together. And then when the player advances into the box, he's just nowhere near him. It's like the guy's never defended before. Every week, now he's costing us with his defending. In fact, he gets away with it more often than not. And I know we'll come on to Markham, but it's just disappointing that he wasn't able to back up that great assist he got with a all-round decent performance, because God knows we need to see these players stepping up. The ones who are featuring ahead of lads who are out injured, they're just not cutting the mustard at the minute, John, are they?
I think that's the problem, isn't it, in League One, and you can argue, you know, we're struggling to bring a squad together and all that because of League One and COVID and all the different reasons. But, you know, we do have expectations, and that's not deluded expectations. We've all been Sunderland fans a long time. We're all realists to a point, and you're exactly right. You know, if McFadden was brought in to challenge Hume and to be a kind of a second left back in that position, but he's not shown any of the qualities that Hume's got. He's a completely different player. At times, like you've said, the stuff that he does that are positives are not left back qualities. They're left wing back, left winger qualities. And the stuff that he does absolutely, like, horrendously on a regular basis are the bread and butter, the 101 of being a left back, the stuff that you get taught as a 9-year-old learning how to play the game left back. So for me, that doesn't strike me as a good signing to cover Denver Hume, who, for everything you've said, the inconsistency he has, fine, you know, that's a negative, but he does the rough stuff pretty well. He comes flying back if he's gone flying forward. He's got pace on him, he's got energy, he drives at players. You know, people whinge about his crossing, but, you know, that's something that can be improved. It's a skill, it's an attribute you can work on. He's 27, McFadden? Like, it's just, it baffles me that there's people in this league that we're signing that can't seem to play football, to put it frankly. Well,
to butt in there, John, he was released by Plymouth in the summer.
Yeah. weirdly, he was one of their better players, because, again, I've brought it up in the chat, but a mate of mine's an Argyle fan, and he really raved about us buying him. He was saying he's a quality player, he gets loads of goals, he brings people into play. They were saying, he's a good wing back, good winger, sometimes played centre mid. We've played him left back, like, on his own pretty much on that side. And it's like, even when he started and he was playing in parky ball and he was on that wing back role, he had one game, I think, where he was good. And I was like, here we go. You know, this is a player, this is what we needed with Hume being out. And yeah, he's not living up to it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the overall of playing for a big team. You know, you worry about some of the players we've brought in having that same problem in the past. I don't know. But yeah, there's a few others as well that are worrying, like you say. You know, they've been brought in to cover and it's just not really good enough. So
yeah. Let's get into the meat and drink of it then. Let's pull the performance apart a bit more. We'll get into the player ratings. Connor, you can start with Lee Burge, because I really haven't got anything to say about him. I'm hoping you do.
Yeah, I don't really have much. I gave him a 5.
Same.
Maybe he could have done better with the second goal. I felt that wasn't, you know, really in the top corner. I think maybe he could have got across, but ultimately he's just let down. He's let down by the defence in front of him. I thought they were both two poor goals to concede. And I saw somebody make an interesting point that we don't give up many chances, but the chances we always give up are good quality chances for the opposition. And tonight it was exactly the same. Can't think of Plymouth doing much, but they get two very, very good opportunities from us, and we never carved out an opportunity really like that throughout the game. So frustrating, but yeah. 5 for Burge.
John, you can have McFadden then.
I put him as a 4. I actually put him as a 5 after the first half, because I just thought, give him a chance. He's sort of trying to get into the game a bit, whatever. And then obviously I was feeling quite positive when he gave an assist for the goal. But then I thought overall he's done nothing but that assist. He was in the wrong position. He was poorly out of play and getting overdone with pace. And yeah, I put him as a 4. I mean, you could even drop it lower, but I thought, I've been harsh on these pods before, I'm going to give him a 4.
Yeah, I gave him a 4 mainly just for the assist. I think that's about it. It's difficult. It's difficult to make a case for him other than that. It's just a case of, you know, what would I have given if he hadn't got the assist? But yeah, Bailey Wright next is quite an easy one for me, I think. I did have him down as a 6, and then right at the end, you know, when we're trying to put pressure on, he gave away a stupid foul that just played into Plymouth's hands, let them buy some time and injury time. So I knocked him down a mark for that, because it was just unnecessary. But otherwise, he was pretty much a steady Eddie, really. He didn't do anything.
I thought the only thing he did, Danny Collins actually made a really good point. In the first goal, he looked like he was just flat-footed. So as the guy took on McFadzean, he didn't move. And then Willis has come across chasing his man. And, you know, all right, you can't expect miracles. But if he was in the way of that ball to Willis's man, then Willis wouldn't have had to stretch to get there. So I did mark him down for that. So, yeah, I put him as a five.
Yeah, yeah. Connor, you're next up with Jordan Willis. Went off injured.
I was going to say, yeah, he just... I don't think it was... But yeah, I didn't really have much written down. He was... For the goal, should he be beaten at the front post? I'm not sure, but...
I put weakest piss. Yeah. That's what I put.
Yeah, but, yeah, I agree, actually, John, yeah. I think he should have done better.
Yeah, so I had him down as a five, just simply because he hadn't done anything particularly positive, and I thought maybe he could have done better for the goal, but obviously, when you only play 35 minutes, it's not really fair to go through him too hard.
The tackle he made when he got injured was a good tackle as well, but this is the worrying thing with Jordan Willis. He's just constantly injured. You know, he was fantastic on Saturday. Everybody was singing his praises, and then he goes again today and gets injured. And maybe a good look at, and I don't know his situation particularly, but I don't want to dig him out too much. But the manager, maybe, you know, with that pitch tonight, was it the right decision to put somebody who's had injury problems in?
He was fuming when he came off, wasn't he? Like, he ran straight down the tunnel. Well, ran, walked, hobbled straight down the tunnel. Yeah. So, like,
well, it must be frustrating as a player, mustn't it, to keep losing your place through injury? Because he's probably going to be out on Saturday now.
But he's also out of contract at the end of the season, so he's probably thinking, the last thing I need is 3 months on the sidelines, which means that I'll probably lose £1,000 a week off my wage. So, you know, if I was him, I'd be pretty annoyed if it was the pitch that got him injured.
Mm. Deion Sanderson, John?
I give him, you're going to hate me because I know you don't like decimals, but I give him 6.5. I had him as a 7 in the first half. I thought he did really well right back. I just thought at centre back, I do think he's a good centre back. I just thought at centre back, he was sort of, I know that we were sort of playing to try and win in that second half, but I thought that he could have made a bit more movement from centre back. He was very static. Bailey Wright was even coming forward at times, and I just wanted Deion to push up and make a third man, because they were just dropping 10 behind the ball. So I dropped him for that, because I just saw him stood there a couple of times just staring forward, and it was like, get forward, man. You know, like, power's gone forward. But he was good, and I would like to point out that I really do feel like if Willis is out long term, forget his career, Willis's career, I really do feel like a good partnership could be Sanderson and Wright if Johnson works with him, and because I do think they complement each other, and I do think he's a bit of a centre-back. I did sort of argue that he was a right-back on the last pod, and I now hate myself. I think he can play both positions, but I do feel like he's more of a centre-back, and I feel like we've got some options at right-back now. I don't know.
Well, Luke O'Neill's been on the bench the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The last couple of games, so that could be a possibility on Saturday. We could see O'Neill back. I don't know how... If he's been on the bench for the last two games, you'd at least think he's close.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but the other thing with Sanderson is, and I think we've mentioned this on the Rotoport Twitter page, is that obviously there was the reports this week that Cardiff came in and approached Wolves and tried to loan him, which would have obviously meant if they'd accepted that, he would have to terminate his spell here. And that sort of makes me think, like, oh, we're missing something with this lad, you know, because he was at Cardiff last year, he played consistently in the Championship, and they've come back in for him this year. Obviously they've went and signed Cruz, captain, haven't they, instead. But the point stands is that this lad is highly thought of by a team in the league above. And in a squad which lacks maybe a bit of that extra special quality, that Championship quality, is there a player that we're not giving enough of a chance to? Because, you know, if he's good enough for a team in the Championship, he should be good enough for Sunderland at this stage, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's probably why he hasn't been playing centre-back, because we've got Wright and Willis fit, you know, potentially. So they've moved him to right-back tonight because of, you know, power playing out of position the last couple of games. But, yeah, I think it's probably forced his hand a little bit if Willis is injured now. And hopefully for me, I think he'll start centre back next week, on Saturday rather. So,
yeah, I'll take Josh Gowan then. I had him down as a five at half time, and then in my WhatsApp chat with my mates, I thought he'd done poorly, and a couple of the lads were like, no, I think he's played all right. He's going looking for the ball. He's the only one who's pretty busy in there. And then second half, my God, the drop off was horrendous. He was probably the worst player on the pitch, maybe beside Wyke. Maybe those two were probably the worst two on the pitch second half. And I mean, it was sort of summed up right at the end when he had a shot from range that just hit Rose Ed. I don't know what it is with Scowen. You'd think under Johnson, somebody he's been successful for in the past when he was Barnsley manager, you'd just think that Scowen would would have that little bit of something about him. And he's a player who we signed from the Championship, who we're told is a Championship player. Sadly, we're not seeing it at the minute. He's, other than the odd bit of quality here and there, over 90 minutes, he just doesn't seem to be able to do it. And in that two tonight, he struggled for me. So.
I think he's looking a bit knackered, maybe a bit mentally knackered
maybe,
as well.
Maybe, yeah. Anyways, I gave him a 3. I don't know if anybody disagrees with that.
I gave him a 4. I did the same as you. I did think the same as you. He was a 5 first half, 4 the second, but 3 is harsh.
maybe when you look through my scores, but yeah. Poor second half. Winchester, then. I think that's you, Connor, is it?
Yeah. Yeah,
go for it.
I didn't see much from him tonight. I feel like from the 20 minutes we saw, well, half an hour we saw at the weekend, and then pretty much what he played 78 minutes tonight. I haven't seen really what we're getting with him. He looks quite big, but he doesn't really put his weight around too much. He's passing, just looks steady. I feel like we've kind of just signed a League Two central midfielder who maybe could play in League One. But, you know, it's early doors. You don't want to write the boy off, but you just feel like it doesn't fit into the mould of what we were told when Johnson was coming in. He signed a 27-year-old from a League Two club. I don't know. I've not been too impressed, but obviously I'm not going to write him off.
It's early doors, isn't it? It's like one. Yeah. And the one thing I would caveat that with is that the pitch again.
I think
central midfield play, and maybe that's where I've maybe been a bit harsh on Scone, I don't know. But in the centre of the park, I mean, the middle of the pitch was the worst part of the pitch tonight.
Yeah.
The ball just doesn't move very well, and you find you're just chasing a lot of the time, so it's difficult. And he was involved in the goal, but you haven't gave us your mark, actually, before John steps in.
5.
Okay. What did you reckon of him, John?
Yeah, no, same as what you guys have said. I think, to be fair, the pitch ruins his style of play as a player. You can see he wants to get the ball, he wants to run with the ball, he wants to make attacking passes, and it really stifled him tonight, properly stifled him in the pitch. But he looked like he was working hard, he looked like he was up for it. So there's some positives there, but he's got a bit of a hot head. I don't know if it's just because it's his starting debut or whatever, but yeah, 5, same as you, Connor, to be honest. Didn't see enough of it to give him any more.
The point about being a hothead's quite interesting, actually, because he'd been booked, and then there was another, I think he got clipped, and it wasn't, I think he made a meal of it, like he went down rolling about, but the aftermath, he's screaming in the referee's face, and I'm just thinking, you're on a yellow card, you know what I mean? You might want to calm down a bit. And the replays would have made him look silly had he been sent off, because there was nothing in the tackle, really. Next is Jack Diamond, John.
I don't know whether I'm being harsh on him, but I gave him a 7, mainly because I think as the game went on, he was going up and up and up. I had him at an 8 at one point. He was running with the ball. He was doing his usual thing of trying to take on players. Lots of guile, lots of attack and intent. But towards the end, don't know whether he was just tired out running on that pitch with all the mud, but he was just giving the ball away a bit. He was running too far. He was doing a bit of a Watmore and getting tackled at the last minute, playing bad balls or kind of playing the wrong choice of balls. But So I gave him a 7 in the end, but what I have seen of him, I think, is that he's definitely coming on strong, which we all thought he would. He needs more games, he needs more experience, and I think we've really got a player there. I sort of said in the chat that I would be surprised if Championship teams aren't looking at him, because he's got some real quality, and if they're going to mop up from down below like you think they are, he'd be our kind of prime asset, I think, that that we could make money on saying those fateful words.
Yeah.
But I think I honestly don't hope that they are. I hope they're not, in a way. But he's played really well tonight. 7 for me.
I agree, and I think the problem is that people see some of the things and he's trying, not coming off, and you've got to think, well, it was one of those team performances where like nothing came off, but he was trying. He was trying to force the issue. He wasn't predictable with his play, like that bit at the end where he carried the ball 3/4 the length of the pitch and then didn't. The final pass wasn't great, but it was the fact that he'd actually thought, I'm going to get the ball and run with it and carry it up the pitch. You know, like, I like that. And we shouldn't discourage young players from being expressive, particularly creative ones. So I hope people recognise that, because you're not going to get like a stellar performance from a player like Diamond every week, but you've got to have faith in him. And he's a young lad. He's gonna have off days. But today I thought he was one of the better players.
Yeah.
And he was unlucky not to get an assist. There was that, we haven't really touched on it, but that chance from O'Brien in the first half where it was a great run and cross from Diamond, and then O'Brien sort of flicked it and the keeper just about saved it. He could have had an assist. For me, I thought, he had a canny game. What about you, Connor?
Yeah, I had him down as a 6. I really, really like him. I think he's a good player. I just I felt like as a team today, where attack and play wasn't quite clicking, so I would begrudge giving anybody more than a six. But one thing I would say on Diamond, which I've been thinking about a lot, is I see a lot of fans, particularly on social media, sort of him and Hume, say they don't rate them, they don't think they're good, don't have the end product. They say that quite a bit, and I just hope that we don't have a George Honeyman situation whereby where a player who is actually decent seems to get sort of booed out the club because he's a local lad coming through. I hope that doesn't happen.
I think John's right, Connor. Your clubs in the league above are going to be looking at Sunderland and looking at Jack Diamond because he's got real potential.
No, I get that. What I'm saying is I don't want the fans to... Like, these players who come from the academy are learning their trade right now. Like, we're not buying a polished player who's 26. You've got to accept that they've got, you know, warts to their game. And that's basically what I was trying to say is just don't jump on their backs because maybe their final product isn't quite there yet because they've only been playing professional football for, in Jack Diamond's case, like a season, if you take half the area out of Harrogate last year.
Yeah, people don't take that into consideration when they're sort of shouting the negatives. They don't take that into consideration. They lump everybody with the likes of the more experienced players that are just playing dross. And it's kind of like, you have got to give them a bit of an inch. It's not to say, oh, it's okay that they're shit. You know, it's like, you've got to look beyond it a bit. You've got to look at it like, certainly I do when I'm looking at younger players. And I don't know whether it's because I've coached youth and because I've played and stuff like that. But I look at what you are seeing and what you can see that could happen rather than what they're doing and sometimes making the mistakes and then just automatically writing them off. And we're quick to jump to conclusions as Sunderland fans sometimes. And I think that, yeah, I agree with you, Connor. We need to give them a chance and give them a bit more experience and a bit of a pat on the back and corral around them. Same with Dan Neil. So many people are lording Dan Neil up and so many people are saying, I've not seen enough of him to give him a chance. Well, if you ask me, the fact that people are lording him up, there's enough of him there to give him a chance. No? Like, seriously, like, we're in League One, we're not in the Premier League. There's not a risk to taking to putting him in. But yeah, it's a funny one with the youth and with our fans, I think.
Let's rattle through the rest of these. And I've got McGeady. I'm going for a six. Adam Down is a seven at half time. I thought he was probably one of our more productive players. His crossing was good. But the big negative for me with McGeady was his set pieces. Just so many corners. And I mean, obviously the kick take has only half of it. You've got to have people in the area attacking those balls. And I mean, every week we seem to have 10 plus corners and we don't even threaten the goal with them. And McGeady's, for some reason, I'm guessing this was a direction, but the crosses were all going like high and the back stick, but we weren't doing anything with them. This is maybe a wider point, and we won't go into it too much because I don't want to get on, but the set pieces, I mean, we really need to work on those because we get so many corners and we do nothing with them. Okay, Aidan O'Brien next then. Connor, I think it's you. O'Brien, the goal scorer.
Yeah, you got to praise him for scoring the goal. Good header, good finish. Unlucky, as you say, in the first half, not to have scored as well. So I gave him a six. I thought of the two strikers up front, he was the one that looked more interested. I'll put that nicely. He looked more interested than Charlie Wegg, but I gave him a six.
Okay, John, I'll let you... You said you didn't want him before we even recorded, but yeah, you've landed on Charlie White. I've just got what the fuck written down.
Yeah,
I've know what to give him out of 10.
I've literally just written Wyke, as in like same old shit, different week. And yeah, I mean, we obviously said that at the start of the programme, you know, well, I said at the start of the programme, he scored three, didn't play well, we didn't play well. So you can't think, oh, he's a rejuvenated player. This is what he does week in, week out. And, you know, I'm sick of talking about it, sick of talking about how we need someone like that, how it changes our game. It changes all of our play. You know, we talk every week, it seems, about our attack and play getting better or attack and play this, attack and play that. Well, whether we're going well going forward or not, you need someone to put the ball in the net. So, you know, there's a decent number nine. We'll put half chances in the back of the net and the chances that White's getting. White's getting, like, laid on chances and putting them wide. And tonight, he was nowhere near the ball when he needed to be. He hardly touched the ball. Don't know where he was half the game. And he just has games like that. And, yeah, didn't really want to talk about him, but I did there. I give him a three.
I think we have to go back to the Chris Wynn, Charlie White rating scale, don't we, from last week. It's like, does he get a point for putting his shoes on? Does he get a point for just, you know... Tonight, he was and I tweeted this, he was completely anonymous. Forgot he was on the pitch until near the end when he started giving loads of fouls away. And it's so frustrating with Charlie White, because how can you follow up a hat-trick at the weekend with a performance like that? You would... Do you know, going into the game on Saturday, he'd been crap, and he got a hat-trick, and I thought, there's a chance to press on and you know, solidify your place in the team for the rest of the season, show why your doubters are wrong, you know, put yourself about. He's 6'4", man. It's just so frustrating. Sorry, John, but it's so frustrating watching a striker that size do nothing with his frame, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Niall Quinn would cry watching him. Like, that's just what's depressing as a fan. When you've watched players like that when you were younger who can play that role, who are that big, you know, who can, you don't even have to be Niall Quinn standard. I'm just talking about holding up the ball and doing something. Like, he's anonymous for large swathes of games. And like you've just said at the start, when you start talking about him, it's every week. We're having the same discussion every week with Charlie White. Saturday was a complete anomaly. He's got 10 goals this season. I've got no idea how.
Yeah, and 90% of number nines and strikers, after scoring a hat-trick, they use the confidence, they're full of it, and the next game they do well. I mean, there's probably some science out there that suggests they score after having a hat-trick. You know, every number nine gets a goal the next game or something. It's ridiculous. This is the worst performance of a number nine, I think, after scoring a hat-trick I've ever seen. It was horrendous. It was just the worst I've seen. Anyway, I'm sick of talking about it.
Yeah, I know. Let's not drone on about
it. I gave him a 7. I'm doing.
He would give him a 7.
Connor, you can take the substitutes because we don't want to go on too much longer.
I was going to say, I'm the one who's a bit more concise than you two that just blabber
on.
Yeah,
go on.
Power, 6. Thought he does okay going forward. Defensively, didn't really do that much wrong. 6. Maguire, 5. Didn't see enough of him, really. Feel like he's just been miles away for months now. Embleton came on, felt he was a bit loose with the ball, was a bit disappointed, gave him a 5. And Leadbitter wasn't on long enough really to make that much of a difference, gave him a 5. The last point really to make is the fact we haven't even mentioned this. Plymouth was sat on a bus for 8-9 hours today. They played on that pitch tonight, which was boggy in the one. Like, how mental is, how much of an advantage did we have going into tonight's game for that reason, and we ended up getting beat.
More than most do. Yeah, like, this is it. Like, it's one of those situations, and if you can't get your players to play better, there does come a question of what he said and what he's done. And, you know, there's an argument of, is it Lee Johnson, or is he just struggling to polish the turd, in a sense of he's just dealing with players who are shocking and haven't got the heart. You know, I said a point about it being Sunday League. It's like watching a Sunday League team. Well, I know Sunday League teams that would give a lot more heart than our players did tonight. I'll tell you that much. So, it's frightening.
Yeah, man, the match, I've gone for O'Brien. Thought he took his goal well. Was unlucky not to get that one in the first half, which he flicked towards the goalkeeper. Thought he was generally busy, involved. I mean, O'Brien's not perfect, but what I do like about him is he puts his cell about and he gets involved and he drops in for the ball and tries to make things happen, which when you're watching Charlie White play in the same game, it's night and day, isn't it? So, yeah. I'm not going to like rave too much about him. I just think out of a bad bunch, he was probably the best player tonight.
Yeah, I'd have gone with Diamond, but O'Brien, I can see where you're coming from. I think O'Brien's he definitely tried a lot harder than White. I think the problem with O'Brien is he's got more mistakes in him than he has decent moments, I think. So, yeah, I agree, though. He's had one of his better games there, and they were so shit as a team, then maybe O'Brien would get man of the match.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Frankie and Danny, because I think they did a pretty decent job considering how poor the game was. In fact, they've done it pretty, considering how bad the football's been this season. They've done a good job for trying to
stop kissing their ass. Stop
keep
kissing
a smile
their
on their face. Well,
go with Frankie's ass.
Well, more Danny. I love Danny more than Frankie.
No, you can give it to who you want, O'Connor. Right, okay. We'll rate the manager as well quickly because I keep forgetting to do this. I know you weren't too keen at the start there, Connor, with Johnson.
No, I'd probably
what, give him out of 10.
I'd probably give him a 5 because ultimately, I don't even know if it would have mattered what formation you put them in tonight, because they clearly weren't going to be at the races. Maybe it's his job to motivate them better, I don't know, but it's not his squad. It's not his team up there, so I gave him a 5.
I gave him a 6 just to wind Connor up.
Fair enough.
I'm going with a 5 as well. I was wondering what he was kicking off with a ref at the end. I noticed we haven't actually touched on this, but the penalty sort of decision in the first half where White goes past the defender and, you know, slowed down, it looks worse than it did in real time because the defender has his hands out. You know, if he doesn't raise his hands towards White, then maybe he's got to. But yeah, I felt like we were robbed a bit there. Maybe that's what Johnson was kicking off about.
anywhere else on the pitch, that's a
free kick. He gave about 10 of them that were just like that across the pitch.
So that would have changed the game, wouldn't it?
League One refs, though. It's every week, and Lee Johnson, if he isn't used to it, needs to get used to it. Because it's shit. It's shit. I mean, like, we get it the other way as well. Like, Chris did make that point. I hate making that point because it is true, but we do get it the other way sometimes. So
yeah,
that was just really shit tonight.
All right, then. Well, we'll wrap up there. I think we've depressed people enough. It's it's not nice to talk about a loss, especially against the team you were hoping you would beat. But this is Sunderland, isn't it? We've done this a few times this season. Mansfield, like I said at the start, MK Dons, teams who couldn't buy a win away from home, come to Sunderland and the manager.
Bottom of the league, Wigan. Do you not remember bottom of the
league? Yeah.
Jesus.
We've our home form is concerning, and this is what's really worrying us is when we're getting these games against teams that you would expect to win, we aren't doing it, and it kind of feels as a fan base we're all just waiting for the tide to turn, and I definitely felt like that was going to be the case tonight. I felt after Saturday, I just felt like tonight was the chance to get in amongst it, particularly with Lincoln right up there having their game called off. There's another team we could have pulled ourselves closer to, and ever since we entered League One, we just have not taken these opportunities all the way back to when Jack Ross was manager. We've never done it. And it's tough. But yeah, all we can do is dust ourselves down, as Steve Bruce would say, and go again. So yeah, thank you very much, lads, for joining us, and be sure everybody to catch the extra show, which I think Brett's hosting this week. So providing there's not a disaster, that will go out, and we might be back at the weekend with the player ratings. If it's not me, it'll be Ant. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.